Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black Power Family, once again, you are tuned in to the only Black radio show where you're going to hear the blackest of black news. This is Sister Fasami. Brother Sean Kwali will be calling in shortly. We had lined up today our national chairman, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, but as the busy man, as he is, he's off and about and cannot make the show tonight. I want to guarantee all of my listeners that was not a ploy to get y'all to listen to the show. Honestly, it was scheduled, but, you know, when you're in this, things come up. We are going to have the national minister, Hashim Nzinga. Brother, if you're calling in, can you put could you dial number one on your phone and put your hand up so I can see you? Or I might just have to go through all these calls to see if this is Minister Nzinga on the phone. So wait one second. I'm going to go to the one where I think it's him. Minister Nzinga? Is this the minister? Guess not. No problem. Is this Minister Nzinga? Hello? You're on air? Guess not. Well, if the minister is listening, please dial one on the dial pad of your cell phone so I can see your hand being raised. Well, like I said, what we had lined up was a 101 with our national chairman. But once again, like I said, to reiterate, he has gotten caught up and he has things that he has to do, not saying that the show isn't important. It's just that's the nature of this beast. You got to get out here and you got to bang when you can. So it is what it is. The original show scheduled for today was the Black Power slogan in 2010. And what does it really mean? I need to explore that because I hear people answering their phone, Black Power, saying, bye, Black Power. I'll get black to you. Black Power this, Black Power that. But what does it really mean, or has it become cliche now? So we need to dig into that and find out what it really means. And I think this we might have the minister online. Wait one second, folks. Please tell me this is Minister Nzinga.
Black Power.
Hello.
That's cliche.
Black Power, brother. How are you?
We're going to stick with that cliche.
I'm glad you was listening. So you think it's a cliche, huh?
I think any time you can get people to mention it out of their mouth, if they keep mentioning it, our God and our Creator and our ancestors, the Harriet Tubmans, the Sir John the Truths, the Ida B. Wells, the Madam C.J. Walkers, the Shirley Chisholms, the Barbara Jordans, and the Michelle Obamas will make it become true.
Hmm.
I believe even God worked in mysterious ways, even when you're playing with electricity, it'll fry you. So I believe if we, Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught us, we'll take any victory. And so, you know, you had, for years, we've been miseducated. First of all, we just got to really understand that we're dysfunctional people. If a people take your land, take your culture, take you from being a king, take you from being a queen. And I know people say, here we go, here we go. Well, it really is here we go. People have taken everything we are and everything we are to be and told us it was something else.
That's right.
And so now we are. It's a different world out here, and now we're waking up, and slowly we're saying black power, and slowly we're saying things that we've never said before, but in a minute it's going to mean a lot to those people who's playing with it. So let them keep playing with it, and eventually they'll start to believe it, and eventually they'll see there's something real about it.
Absolutely. Is that Brother Sean Kwali out here on the line?
Sean Kwali.
Y'all walk with me for a minute. Let Bobo hold you. Y'all work with me for a minute. Stick with me. But right now I'm with my daughter, number one. I'm happy to be back in Atlanta with my family. But also I'm with the president and the CEO of Rap-A-Lot Records, Jay Prince. And also I'm with the heavyweight and welterweight champion of the world, Floyd Mayweather, which may be one of the richest black men in the land. And we're talking about black power, that's black power.
Then them black powers.
So if y'all bear with me and don't hang up, we're going to maybe get Brother Jay Prince to talk about what real black power is.
Yes, sir.
Oh, brother, we definitely not going to hang up. We holding on to your every word.
Yes, sir.
Is that Brother Kwali out here on the line?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Black power.
Okay, black power. You know you booted me out, right?
Yeah,
you booted me out. When you signed in, you booted me out, bro.
Brother, sister, this is the CEO of Rap-A-Lot Records and one of my best friends in the world, and a man who's made it and ain't forgot about the Fifth Ward and his people, his brother Jay Prince, who owns Rap-A-Lot Records and many other things.
Man, I bought a bag, too.
You how you sir, doing, brother Jay Prince?
How are you, my brother? How are
Hello.
You, sir? How are you, brother Jay Prince?
Hello?
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Hey. I'm blessed, man.
Man, welcome to Black Power Radio.
Black Power. I love that name.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I love that name.
Yes, sir. We just want to kind of hear from you on, you know, what your thoughts is on Black Power, how our people can pick themselves up from the bootstraps, get up out the mud, give our people a little inspiration from Rap-A-Lot Records.
Well, first of all, let's stick together and let's support one another. You know what I mean? And foremost, the foundation of it all, man, is from the spiritual perspective. You know what I mean? Because, you know, throughout the history of our people, you know, our key and heartbeat to everything was our spiritual grounding. And, of course, you know, as the word tells us, every generation gonna get wiser. But weaker. But by the same token, I just can't even stop implementing the spiritual foundation that we had from the beginning, how we need to hold on to that and share it with the generations to come, with the generations that exist right now, because that's like the meat and potatoes of the meal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. So you just saying we need to straight up just stay together, pull closer, pull tighter.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, without the foundation being there, we can't build. So I always like to deal with the root of every situation. And what I'm speaking of right now, before any mansion is going to be created, or before we can go to that next level, we have to go back to the root where the foundation was laid. So there's no need of me going no further than that until we can get that straight. And to me, as I observe, you know, the youth of today, that's what's missing. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
the foundation support is we're beginning to not value it the way it should be valued. So let's regroup.
Yes, sir. So
absolutely.
What do you think needs to be done in terms of the music business right now, brother Prince? I mean, you that's man. I mean, you know, we on Black Power Radio, so we gotta talk about what's going on in the music business right now. And it seems like to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but it seems like to me that a lot of the positive content or a lot of the conscious or political or content with a message that was around when we were coming up is leaving the music. Why do you think that is, Brother Prince?
Well, that all of that is existing from the statements that I just made. You know what I mean? When that foundation weakened, everything fall apart. You know what I mean? It's hard to build off of it. But one of the key elements to the music industry today, from a business perspective, why it's weakening is, believe it or not, because of the internet.
Mm.
And yeah, this internet has, my great grandmother was 114 years old. And
wow.
she called that the one-eyed monster, like a devil or something. But anyway, it has ran a lot of black-owned mom-and-pop stores, you know, completely out of business, along with, you know, a whole lot of other people that are suffering on behalf of it. But, you know, I guess it's a machine that can't be stopped, so we're going to have to figure out how to adjust and move forward, you know, with the time.
Mm-hmm. That's deep. Mm-hmm. Let me ask
a question real quick.
Yeah.
Now you say that the family, the foundation, you know, it's been rocked, and that's the reason why you're seeing what you're seeing now. By the way, let me introduce myself. I'm sorry, brother. This is Sister Fasami. But that being said, we can easily say that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
But what caused that problem, and what are some of the solutions that you see? And especially having a bird's eye view to a lot of these young rappers or these
mm-hmm.
artists coming to you, and they're just really hungry and they're coming out of a bad situation. What do you see would be a solution, and what was the root cause of the problem? Because it sure as wasn't, it wasn't the internet. This has been going on way longer than the internet.
No. I just spoke about the internet after a whole lot of other things were said. But you see, this is my belief. I think when I made the statement that the word says every generation is going to get wiser but weaker, I think some of these things that's taking place is fulfillment of the word, and it's going to happen. Certain things is going to happen because I'm a believer that the word is going to be fulfilled. And with that being said, it's almost like some of these things you can't do nothing about. You can't do nothing about it. Of course, you can always try and adjust and do different things, but as far as you being able to, like, interfere with the movement of God and the word being fulfilled, I don't think
right.
no man on the planet can do anything about it. And a lot of people don't like to face that reality where a lot of things are concerned. You know, for example, when he hardened Pharaoh's heart, you know what I mean? Pharaoh wasn't in control.
Right.
You know, if God is hardening your heart, you ain't even in control of your actions. It's true. Your heart then got hardened. So I think today a lot of these situations is fulfillment of the word, but, you know, one can't, you know, say that's the excuse. Because all of it ain't fulfillment of the word. Now, what we're trying to figure out is that part that's not and do something about it. And, you know, we have to differentiate what is and what's not, and sometimes that's difficult.
That's true.
Well, let me just ask this real quick, because I see that you're going down the biblical road and the theological road, and that's beautiful because everybody needs, I guess, something to believe in, but let me ask you this. Do you feel that since we've been over here in this country and we've had all the religion. We're the most religious people in the world. Do you believe that those words in the Bible shall be fulfilled, or it was a warning to not do certain things, so therefore you don't have to fulfill these prophecies and suffer these plagues? However, do you feel that religion is part of the problem, or do you feel that it's actually going to help us? Because, like I said, we've been the most religious people in the world, and we're still at the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah, but I think we lost that. I think once again, we're wiser and weaker. I think we lost a lot of our principles that, you know, and values that we got, you know, from our ancestors, such as a hard work ethic, such as respect. You know, it's a lot of those values that's gone. And with those values being gone, then you're open for anything. You know, it's almost like a virus. You know, it's almost like going out in cold weather, knowing you're going to get a cold if you don't dress properly. But by no means am I trying to suggesting that religions should be used as some type of crutch or cover-up, you know, for our existence right now. What I'm saying is we don't value it today like we did yesteryear, or whatever in the past. And it's a fact, and it's consequences that go along without valuing, you know, that in which you were taught. You know what I mean? If you was taught better, you know, about any situation, and then you go outside and run into that brick wall, knowing that your mother, your father told you that is a brick wall right there. Don't run east. It's a brick wall, but you take off running east full speed, and bam, its consequences go along with that. And I just think from the consequences, you know, it causes us to be in a state.
Is that religion? Is that religion, or is that common sense?
I think it's a combination of both. You know what I mean? I think religion is common sense, you know.
Oh.
So because it's true and it's right, and that's true and right will last forever, and the lie have to keep on changing. So, yeah, religion is common sense and truth to me.
Okay, so what are you working with, brother, our national minister with? You know, what are y'all out here doing? What are y'all out here getting together?
Well, I'm actually out here on a entrepreneur mission myself, and, of course, you know, I pay respect to my brothers, you know, when I come to their town, and I'm always like hungry for wisdom and entrepreneurial opportunities, and I'm all ears right now.
Brother Prince, let me ask you this, and we appreciate everything that you're saying on Black Power Radio and your time. What does Black Power mean to you, sir? When you hear the word Black Power, or, you know, coming up in a Black Power generation, what does that mean to you, sir?
Well, Black Power to me, you know, is unity. You know what I mean? I could never, I would never say Black Power is a power divided. To me, it's like a team effort. You know what I mean? When a team of brothers such as so I could use myself as an example. I don't have to go around the corner. When one could bring a team of uneducated ex-cons together and unite for a positive cause and be the best at it, then and everybody black, that's Black Power to me. You know what I mean? That's Black Power when you unite for one cause, or you come together and you shine. You know what I mean? And that could be applied in so many different areas. I'm not limited to any specific situation or whatnot, but it's the unity of blacks coming together being successful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How is the Rap-A-Lot Records family?
Well, we good. We excited. Tomorrow we got a Bun B album that's about to come out. We're excited about the Drake album that just was released. My son discovered Drake, and he and Lil Wayne, you know, merged up with the companies Young Money, Young Empire, and you know, it makes me feel good because, you know, I was blazed the trail for Cash Money and Master P and all those guys were my students, and for us to be standing today as strong as we're standing and relevant, it makes me feel good. So that's Black Power too.
Definitely Black Power. Definitely yeah. Black Power. And so what we're really trying to do is really link up, to be honest, to link up the hip hop world, whatever way we can, with you know the corporation world, with the street world. We're really trying to link it all together and influence all of that with Black Power. All of that with Black Power, you know. And so we really want them here to hear from you. So they know the hell. It's all right to be down with Rap-A-Lot Records and still be Black Power now. Don't get it twisted.
No, Black, I mean, man, it's nothing to be ashamed of where Black Power is concerned. And Black Power is not no old situation where the youth can't dream and have visions. I look at it exactly the way I said. It's about them coming together for a cause, a positive cause, and mastering the situation.
Right.
I wouldn't care
right.
if it's a garbage truck driver. You know? So, I mean, that's
some Black Power garbage, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you might, you know, just because you work on the back of the truck don't mean you have to you can't think beyond that, owning a bunch of the garbage can trucks. You know, master the cause.
Definitely, definitely. Well, definitely, Brother J. Prince, we don't want to hold you too much longer. We thank you for your time on the show, dear brother. And hopefully we look forward to seeing you at the next Black Power Convention. The next Black Power Convention will be in New York next year, 2011, in spring. And so we hope to see you there, brother, if your schedule permits.
Yeah, well, it would be a privilege and honor, man. And, you know, it's a privilege and honor to even speak right now. And hopefully I said one word that may encourage one. So,
yes, sir.
You know, I
yes,
appreciate
sir.
It, man.
Yes, sir. These shows are archived. And so even those who listen after the show will be hearing our voice, hearing your voice for years to come, brother. So we thank you for everything that you said.
I appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you, my sister.
No problem, brother. Anytime.
Okay.
Definitely Black Power. That's Brother J. Prince, y'all, president of Rap-A-Lot Records. And I know y'all know about some Rap-A-Lot now, Scarface and a whole label. Rap-A-Lot's been around for a long time, kicking it strong. And we're just trying to show y'all on Black Power Radio that we're not a bunch of, you know, crazy people in berets. We just like you, you know. We listen to the music, but we do it from a conscious perspective. We do it from a Black nationalist perspective and a perspective that influences our people to positivity. And so we appreciate Brother J. Prince, and we appreciate Rap-A-Lot Records, and we want y'all to know, man, that it's still Black Power. So this we talking now on Black Power in 2010, and hopefully the national chief of staff will come back and join us. But hell, we're talking about Black Power in 2010. I'm telling y'all, look.
Did you hear my question? Did you hear my question to the national minister? I asked him, is it really Black Power, or has it become cliche?
Well,
I mean, let me ask you a question, brother Kwali. You've been in this for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hey,
and
hold on. This is Brother Hashim back. Brother J got all kind of business going on. When you get still 30 minutes from him, you stole a real 30 minutes.
Yes, sir.
If y'all don't know who he is, he He started all these guys in that rap world before Master P, before Cash Money, before all of them. There was Rap-A-Lot Records and Scarface out there terrorizing these people with Khalid Muhammad on the tracks.
That's right.
Jay Prince helped us pay for the Million Youth March. He done so much, but he's here in Atlanta working a $100 million boxing deal, and they got all kind of attorneys out here in the lobby, and Mayweather here, and so he has to go to his meeting. But I appreciate him giving the time, but I just wanted to listen on his to know that this man is a giant in the black economic world, from land to oil to buildings, and he gives back regularly. So I don't know where y'all was at, but y'all can fill me in, and we can move on with the program.
Well,
I was just asking Brother Sean Qualley, since he's been in this for a minute, longer than me, you know, and all that good stuff. You had already answered it, Minister. You already said that Black Power has almost become cliche. And I'm asking Brother Qualley if he feels the same way, or does it really mean something when people say it now?
No, I'm going to answer it quick so we can get our National Chief of Staff right on
right.
back in here. But I think it's cliche to some. I think that Black Power as a slogan has become cliche to some. But to those of us like who are in the new Black Panther Party or in the RBG movement or whatever the case is, those of us that are on the ground, it's not cliche. This is life. But go ahead, Brother Hashim.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad started us to calling each other brothers and sisters. And people joke with that for the longest. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Let me get the door for you, brother. Let me get the door for you, sister. And some of them didn't really mean it. They were just saying it because Malcolm said it. They were saying it because the brother next to them said it. But after a while, they got comfortable with it. And before you know it, wasn't nobody around them, and they were saying, brother, can I get that? And sister? And before you know it, it was a single-handed job. We had stopped calling each other niggers and coons and sambos and these crazy names, and we started calling each other brothers and sisters. So now if we start saying Black Power, you're going to play with it. But after a while, it's going to be like when our brother Mikasa Rick hollered Black Power behind Dr. King in the 60s in Mississippi, and then the next day they made Dr. King say, are you with Black Power? Are you not with Black Power? What does this mean? And Dr. King had to define what Black Power was, and he did an awesome job defining what it was, and then even some of the civil rights people had to deal with their leader talking about Black Power. But they played with it for a while. But I'll say this, Marcus Garvey told us Africa for Africa. He told us Europe for the Europeans and Asia for Asians and all of that. And it was a guy by the name of W. Du Bois who was with the NAACP. And he was writing out of a newspaper called, I think it was the Liberator or the, it wasn't the Liberator, that was another paper. I know W. Du Bois' paper because the NAACP still owns it to this day. But Marcus Garvey was writing a whole different type paper. But those people played with Garvey, played with the Pan-African movement, played with Back to Africa, like
right.
the sisters talking about now. But goddamn it, when them crackers got on W. Du Bois' ass later, in the late 60s, after King was dead, and in the 70s, W. Du Bois started talking about Black Power. He moved to Ghana. He abandoned all of that crap. And when he died, he's buried in Ghana. His family is buried in Ghana. His sons are in Ghana now. And he in Africa where Garvey was. And Garvey never made it to Africa, but W. Du Bois did. But W. Du Bois was playing. But look what happened. He became a strong Pan-African in the end.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's just one example of how somebody could not really be serious about something, but he ended up living it, and he didn't want to be buried nowhere else but in Africa.
Right.
And he was intellectuals. So we conquer him with Black Power. So we say we rather for our people to play with it. And if we do our job and define it and clarify it, we done came a long ways from Sambo and Andy and Amos and the rest of that stuff. So I'm happy.
That's right. Me too.
You got a question, Brother Sean? Because I was about to just dig in real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Brother Nzinga, let me ask you a question. What are some practical solutions that people who may not be part of the new Black Panther Party can implement in their day-to-day lives in practicing race responsibility and practicing really what Black power and Black nation building really is. What are just some practical little things they can do to help us along this journey?
You give me 1 second, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna be. When you come in, I just call my phone. Now just
we're still live on Black Power Radio. We
okay. Let me say this. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do three things at once, but my people and my show and our show is just as important as Mayweather getting in that ring and doing what he do. So we gotta step away from him a minute and finish this show. Sissa has a very important question, and I want to answer it the right way. Let me say this, and let me be clear. This is no rocket science. This is no mystery God. This is no portion, a potion, as they call it, that you mix in the kitchen and it turns blue and shoot out stars and bulls, and then you drink it. This is simple. This is simple. They, and when I say they, let's be clear, we're talking about the Jews, we're talking about the white man, we're talking about the wizards and the devils that try to trick us into thinking that our history don't mean anything. We come from nothing, and we are nothing. They have done such a good butchering job and such a great job controlling media and radio and newspapers that they really got most Black people thinking that we are nothing. So we go around living a life that is not real to us. And some of us don't realize it till we get older and damn near the grave, and then we realize we are something and we try to fight back. We need to do what every other race do. Start it at birth.
Right.
You know, the Jews say never again. The Jews get mad at Dr. Khalid Muhammad and a Minister Farrakhan and a Malik Zulu Shabazz about talking Black power and what we're talking about. But then they'll turn right back around and start telling you about Hitler and the Jewish Holocaust, and it's going to cost everybody for what they did to us. And they want the whole world to always bow down to them. The Schindler's List, we call it. So this is the deal. I myself got baffled by this same thing. But what I did, I ordered three books from Ebony. And that's John Johnson. He's deceased now. But he's got three books. It's a Ebony book on the Civil Rights Movement, an Ebony book on Egypt, and an Ebony book on slavery. If you get those three books, and they're very easy to read books for kids and with the family members around the house, and you go through the Egypt book first, it teaches you about the first Nubians, the first Kushites, teaches about us and how the 26 dynasties lay out, and you get to fall in love with Nefertiti, you get to fall in love with Akhenaten, you get to fall in love with King Tut and some of our kings and queens, and you start to see how they really did build civilization, and you get to see where our brilliant minds civilized this world and gave the world sunlight to use it the right way. When I mean sunlight, I mean in the mind. When I'm talking about that, I'm talking about Imhotep, our first doctor of medicine. Talking about the hieroglyphics when we start to write and make sense and stop mumbling and fumbling. I'm talking about how we start to dress up and put that gold on and put them crowns on the queens, and our babies meant something to us, and when they built them pyramids and when they built them sphinx and when they left that history to nobody could destroy it. And then we went on into the Shaka Zulu area, and we went on into the Miles, and we went on into Ghana, and we came on over to slavery. When we get in slavery, how devastating slavery was to take all of that history and wipe it away in less than 50 years. All they did, they took the first group of slaves, they broke them down, then they made them have babies, they separated the babies from them, and they taught the babies they had no history. And that baby group of babies had babies, and they taught that group of babies they had no history. And that baby group had babies, and they taught them they had no history. Well, that group was Papa King, Dr. King's daddy. That group was Malcolm X's daddy, who was with Marcus Garvey. And that group knew something was wrong. And that group started to study, because that's the group after Jim Crow and in the Civil Rights Movement, and we started to study ourselves again. So after we started to study ourselves again, you can develop a Martin Luther King that really was a historian. If you ever listen to his speeches, he would always teach history, black history. But he did it in a wise way.
That's
so
right.
I say,
right.
If we just simply get those three ebony volumes, start teaching our kids who they are, start teaching our grandparents who they are. Once you install in somebody that they are worthy and worth something, then they start to act like it. Then we start to have dignity and what we call self-esteem. And that's what the Black Panther Party has. The Black Panther Party know we are not coons. They know we're not Sambo. They know we're not niggas. They know who we are. But then after you find out who you are and you get to fight to explain, you get to have, and it's a battle out here to be somebody, because your own people are telling you you ain't nothing. Go to black homes. You're great. You got some people that got a butt wild in their hand telling a baby you ain't going to never be S-H-I-T. You're going to always be a little bitty H-O-E. We talk to our kids like that. That's why it's so much better, even if you faking calling somebody a little queen, even if you faking calling somebody a king, even if you faking calling somebody and saying black power. I'd rather hear that out of your mouth than the other stuff that goes on in our homes. I'm not talking about what the white man might call us once in a blue moon at Walmart.
That's
a
right.
White man, how many black people that we can talk about, brother Sean and sister, that actually been called a nigger by a white man? If we did a call-in and we were honest and people didn't know what we were going to ask them, you can get 100 black people to call you and they don't know what you're going to ask them. And you ask them, have you ever been called a nigger by a white man or a white woman? Probably out of 100 on the phone call, only 2 would say they have been called a nigger by a white man. So this white man don't kill our self-esteem. We do it. That's why I like the conditions we're in. We can fix it. We train each other to say we ain't going to be nothing. We train each other to say that nigga ain't nothing. We train all this negative energy, because most of us, we don't even see white people. But once a month, when we go to a bank or something, they don't come to our community. That's us. So God has blessed us. If we fix it, it's fixed. And by the time we sign and see a white person, we would crush them. Why do you think the senators now are trying to have a hearing on this situation with the Black Panther Party? Congress has had a hearing. Everybody is attacking us because we know who we are. And
right.
Once you know you Superman, once you know you Superwoman, you're going to start acting like it, and you're going to stay away from that, what they call a kryptonite, whatever that is, where you keep your strength.
That's right.
Once you find out that you are Popeye and that the 40 ounce don't help you but the spinach help you, you'll start eating good again. And then when we eat the spinach, our muscles will pop up again.
Real talk.
So all of this comes from basically we're dysfunctional. We're dysfunctional and we're miseducated. And when we accept it and start to turn it around and not try to just make nobody get the Holy Ghost, but just make them get a holy book. See, the holy book go a lot longer than the Holy Ghost, because a lot of us faking the Holy Ghost. But I'm just saying, if we start with the babies, one thing about babies are innocent.
Yeah.
I was with Brother Jay Prince today, and I picked him up at the airport. I had my baby with him. I told him, I've been out of town 3 weeks, man. Been to jail, been to South Carolina, been to my dad's funeral. I got to spend some time with my babies.
That's right.
Yep. He said, brother, I'd rather have a van full of babies than a van full of grown folks, because you don't never know what grown folks are up to. Babies
right.
are innocent. So if we take these innocent babies who have no idea about this world and teach them their work early, that's what Jay Prince was talking about ago, a foundation. Give them a solid foundation of who they are so they can dream again. and they know the sky is the limit. We need to let them know that Daniel Hale Williams in Chicago did the first heart surgery. We need to let them know that George Carruthers, even though they say that picture was taken on the moon, a white man invented the camera. We need to let them know every time they put on a pair of shoes that Jane Melliker invented this shoe machine. I mean, we need to let them know every time they hear a refrigerator run that Frederick Jones invented that refrigerator. We need to let them know that there's nothing they can see or touch that we didn't have something to do with it. And when we let them know that, show them that in the books, show them that in film, nobody can take that out of them.
That's
you
right.
know, I remember when the Cosby Show came out, that was the biggest outcry by white society. They say, how you going to do a sitcom where a black woman is a doctor and a black man is a doctor and a black woman is a lawyer? That can't be true. Man, they out of their mind. We've been lawyers and doctors forever. Back, you know, it just reminds me of Malcolm X when Malcolm told him he was making straight A's. But look what Malcolm came through. Malcolm came through a father being killed by the Klan, a mother trying to raise all those babies by herself. They took her welfare and took everything she was raising with. She lost her mind. He went from foster home to foster home to foster home. And doing that, they say that when a person get done like that, they can't concentrate. They don't have any habits, what I mean by study habits. Like when you got a mother and father in the home and a regular routine, you come home at 3 o'clock, you eat dinner at 5, you do your studies at 6, maybe look at a movie at 7 or 8, you're in the bed at 9. They say you are more productive as a student in school and better to make straight A's. Malcolm had none of that. Malcolm went from foster home to foster home, didn't know where he was going to be next. Split up his siblings, confused him, but he still made straight A's.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying, what God put in you, no man can take out of you. And so Malcolm made straight A's and was going to almost an all-white school in the 40s and told the white teacher he wanted to be a lawyer. And he said, I'm the smartest in the class. And the teacher told him to be a carpenter or something that's realistic for a nigga to be. And Malcolm left school, and we all know went to hustling. What I'm saying, in 2010, we still got those Malcolms. But this time, sister and brother, it's not a white school teacher telling them they ain't going to be nothing. It's their own damn parents. It's their own aunties and uncles. It's their own big brothers and sisters who may have messed up and got on that crack and got on that weed, and they don't want the young person to be better than them. So I'm saying we need to stop blaming everybody on what we're doing, and we need to simplify it and start correcting our own homes and start giving these babies a fair chance to be that lawyer, to be that judge, to be that doctor, to be that revolutionary, because revolutionary is a profession. That takes a lot of dedication and a lot of work, because when you're a revolutionary, you're a challenge. And people want to know and tell you, man, that stuff ain't nothing. They want to say that stuff ain't nothing because they don't know what that stuff is, because they won't go read Before the Mayflower. They won't go read 100 Year of Lynching. They won't go read The Miseducation of the Negro. They won't go read How to Eat to Live. They won't go read
the ISIS
the book
papers.
Go ahead. We can do roll call.
Yeah,
because
look at
the
ISIS
reading,
papers, the destruction of black civilization, why the white man is the devil, heritage restored, the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, volume 1 and 2.
And 2,
the Jewish
right.
onslaught, right, the Jewish onslaught. I mean, could listen, go on and on, brother.
And it's work. It's work. And when they challenge us, and we fire back at them, we have to be careful. Because we're sometimes our own worst enemy, because when people don't have the knowledge and you got it, they're afraid of you, and so they want to not say they're afraid of you. They want to act like niggas. They want to act like, oh, man, that ain't nothing. And that's when we got to grab them. That's kind of like a fish on the hook trying to get off the hook. We can't let them off the hook once we get them. We might have to slow it down, and say, brother, well, why don't you just start with this right here, brother. It ain't real complicated to be a revolutionary, brother. If you can get 5 people in your neighborhood, brother, and go by Walmart and get 80 hefty trash bags. And if you can go get 12 youths with the other 10 people you got, and y'all just go through the neighborhood picking up the trash in your own neighborhood, that's revolutionary.
That's right. Brother Hashim.
Why in the hell is this revolutionary for us to clean up our own neighborhood? I thought that was something we did anyway, but we don't, brother. Go through some of these black neighborhoods. Brother, it's revolutionary. Somebody else can start young people to clean up their own neighborhood again. You know we done fallen too damn low.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Hashim, will you talk? We got 14 minutes left. Can you talk briefly about what's going on August the 9th with the new Black Panther Party?
August the 9th. You know, Dr. Khalid Muhammad used to say, you heard a lot about me, but you ain't heard from me.
Jeez.
So what we feeling right now, the new Black Panther Party, is we done struck a nerve, and it's like a toothache. A toothache is different from every other pain. A toothache will have you at Walmart at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to put something on it, but it still won't go away. We are a toothache in America's backside. And so when you're a toothache, that pain is so – it got people talking about us. And some of them are trying to describe us from a clip here and a clip there and a clip there and a clip there. And they just confusing the hell out of everybody. So Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our chairman, decided it's time for us to stop letting Hannity and Cone and O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh and Geraldo and all of them do our story, and we do our own story, because really the story they're doing is their stories. So we decided on August 9th at Sylvia's, a restaurant that was put there in a historical New York, Harlem, and during the Renaissance, and I know Miss Sylvia personally. She's a beautiful woman. And so many things have happened at Sylvia, so many press conferences. So many people have came there to start movements and on, that Attorney Shabazz decided to come to. And I slowed down because I remember the last time we was in Harlem, we was trying to stop Bill Clinton from coming in there and taking over Harlem. But anyway, it's very important that we save Harlem. They are chasing us out of there like Disney World now. So we decided to come to Black Harlem and do a press conference so Attorney Shabazz can talk to the black press and explain our position and who we are, so people can hear who we are and what we're doing for ourselves. So basically, brother, it's just street sweeper, I call it. We're coming to clean the garbage off the streets and show the people how our street really looks. And the Black Panthers have a beautiful, clean street. If you ever walked on shining marble, that's the Black Panther street. And they trying to act like our street is a gutter street. And we just got to go show them, move the camera, look to the right, and show them the real Panther street. Because we are on that street Dr. King talked about. I'm talking about Dr. King a lot because Glenn Beck is trying to make a mockery of King history, and he's taking the white Klan, and it ain't no white conservatives or liberals, it's white Klan, and putting them together, and he's trying to go to Washington on a day that I think it's the 25th year or something like that of King's I Had a Dream speech. It might be longer than that. But the bottom line is this. Dr. King said, if your luck falls, you be a street sweeper. Then be the best street sweeper. And if somebody come to your street, they stop and say, here lives a great street sweeper. So if nothing else, we're going to Harlem to show that some of us might only be a janitor, might be only a street sweeper, but we the best at what we do. And we got to, on this show, we got to remind our people, our children, over and over again, if you can't be the sun, just be a star. If you can't be a tree, be a bush. If you can't be a highway, be a trail. But whatever you do, be the best at what you are. That's the only thing that matters. That's why I say we got to keep it simple. We're all not going to be rocket science. We're all not going to be the president of the United States. We're all not going to be senators or congressmen. Some of us going to work at Walmart. Some of us going to cut yards. Some of us going to wash cars. But God damn it, you be the best at what you do. And you have pride in what you do. and everything else takes care of itself. So that's why we're going to Harlem, brother. We're going to Harlem to show them that we, the new Black Panther Party, wasn't put here by the white man.
That's
we were put here by God.
That's right.
And the white man has no control over our destiny. We ain't going to give him that. We ain't going to take what God gave us and give it to some white man to rule over. No courtrooms can control this. No legislation can control this. No amendments to a fake constitution can control this. When God comes, everything else doesn't matter. And when you know God has came, why are you wasting time with a Rush Limbaugh? Why are you wasting time with a Hannity and Cohn? Why are you wasting time with a Wolf? I'm talking about that congressman from Virginia, or Lamar from Texas. They just some little leave it to beaver white man that grew up and put on a suit, but they still clowns.
Go ahead, brother. I see you. See,
because we are so superior to them that they're tricksters. And I'll leave y'all with this. And we had 14 minutes, so we probably got three now. The greatest thing I ever heard, not the greatest, but one of the greatest, was talking about the Wizard of Oz, Sean. They say the man didn't have no heart, the man didn't have no carriage, and the man didn't have no brain. And they followed a little white girl from Kansas to go to the wizard to get a heart, to go to the wizard to get a brain, to go to the wizard to get carriage. Black people are following white people to the wizard, but when they got to the wizard, the wizard was an old white man behind a curtain on a bike talking through a mic like he had power. But when they pulled that curtain and saw that crack on that bike, he was just as scary and just as dumb with no brain and had no carriage and just as scary as hell.
Right.
So we need
right.
to stop trying to go find the wizard, which I'm talking about the white man, to save us when we can save ourselves where we stand.
That's right. That's right.
So these people have no power. They have no power over life. They have no power over death. The only power they got is what we give them. That's all. That's all. So
basically, to summarize that, what you're saying is, if you want to be a revolutionary, if you want to see real change, you don't have to get out here and be on camera. You don't have to not everybody's gonna be the chief. Not everybody's gonna be the chef. Not everybody's gonna be the CEO. You know, we all have our proper places in this. So basically, what you're saying, Brother Nzinga, is just to start at home. Start with simple stuff. Reading some easy read books. Turning off the TV. Feeding your children some good food. You know, telling them they can be something. Start with that good vibrations. Basically, what you're saying, that is a revolutionary in itself, because we have fallen so far below the level of a dog that we can start with that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Since the greatest revolutionaries in the world are right in your own house. And the second stage of the greatest revolutionaries in the world is the first and second grade teacher and kindergarten teachers. They're the most important revolutionaries in the world. So we need to make sure that people who are really serious about revolution and being revolutionaries, which just mean revolution means change. Revolutionary means you want the change to happen real fast. It need to flock to these colleges and get their degrees and go back and teach pre-K and teach first, second, third grade, because those are the stages where our young people decide who they're going to be and what they're going to be. By the time they get to fourth and fifth and sixth grade, the mind and the great part of their mind that dreamed is gone. It's been shaped by somebody else. So if it's going to be shaped by somebody, let it be shaped by revolutionaries early. And then, of course, I said they're the second stage, because the first stage is at home with your mom and daddy. And I say to mamas and daddies all the time, if you feel you're not educated, go back to school. Go back to those libraries. Go back to GED program. You can learn. But the main thing is never, ever, never, ever let your kids get out here and look up to somebody else. You make your kids look up to you. You know, and the greatest brain surgeon we got, and I tell people, and I'm glad we brought all this up, is Dr. Ben Carson, who wrote the book Gifted Hands and Think Big. His mother couldn't read or write, but Ben Carson never knew that. By the time he knew it, he was almost a grown man. She faked it all the way through. And right now today, whenever you study Ben Carson, whenever you see Ben Carson, his mama standing right next to him. She was his revolutionary. She was his, and he's one of the most brilliant brain surgeons in the world, and he's a good friend of ours. We're going to get him on the show one day.
Definitely. Please
that
do.
That sounds like a plan. Yes.
He's a good friend. I had him, I called him one day, and they told me that to get Ben Carson to speak out of John Hopkins Hospital, it would be 2 years because of waiting list. I went to John Hopkins Hospital and met him. He flew his brother, his wife, his two kids, his mother, and his whole family to Texas and spoke to my group. I think it was a month later. So, you know, it just tell us, don't make icons out of people where they so far away you got to go to the moon to touch them. We have to take the icons and go grab them and bring them where our kids can touch and feel a Dr. Ben Carson. And when they feel and touch him and he talks to them and he gives them books, they know they can be Dr. Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do it that way, they think he's some movie star, somebody that they see on TV. No, he's a man that had to sit his butt down and read. He's a man that had to turn on the lamp at night and turn off the Nintendo and turn off the PlayStation and read. He's a man who had to not go play basketball and not go kick the soccer ball and read and become the best damn doctor on earth. It took work. And that's what he's going to tell you. You can be me, but you're going to have to sacrifice.
Right, right. That's right.
You know, this thing is simple, man. It's a choice. And what we're trying to do, Brother Sean and sister, we're trying to limit the choices. You know, when you take them tests, it'd be A, B, C, or D. Well, in the black community, it's A, B, C, D, E, F, or G. We got to narrow it back down to A, B. It's the right way and the wrong way. And whichever one you check, you're going to have to live with.
That's right. That's right.
We know what we need to do.
Oh, I'm sorry, Minister Enzing. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, sister. You know I can talk.
Yeah, you teach me.
That's okay. We got 3 minutes remaining. I just wanted to say this. When you said take the celebrity, take the icon, take these people off and understand that these people, you know, had to start exactly where you're at and to get where they are. One of the things that I can say about you and our national chairman is that y'all are real people. And y'all are really approachable.
Yeah.
And y'all kick stuff with the best of them. And y'all are just real people. And you're not looking down your nose at people, making
right.
people feel
right.
you really love your people. And you out here with your people. And anybody can come up and grab your hand. And you're going to hold their hand until you can give them your full, undivided attention. And I love
right.
that about y'all, brothers.
Same here.
Well, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, when I met Dr. Khaled Muhammad, he taught me one thing real fast, that if you don't stop, go back and apologize to that sister for running her over trying to get me, how you going to try to get me to safety and run over the sister? I said, well, brother, you more important than the sister. He said, oh, you got this mixed up. We doing this for our people, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me a valuable lesson in them 9 years. He taught me, if I'm not out here doing this for the people, what in the hell are we doing?
That's right.
And if you're for the people, the people will know that.
That's right. That's right. Thank
it's
you so
simple.
Much, Minister Nzinga.
Great teaching.
Straight teaching. We only got a couple seconds left in the show. We want to thank all of our guests, Minister Nzinga. And
Jay
what was the
Prince.
Other brother's name, brother? Jay Prince, brother Jay
from
Prince, coming on our show.
Send him
all
my
right.
love and black powers and our thanks, brother Minister Hashim. We thank you so much for you and for him being on the show too.
Well, he mm-hmm. thanks like us. He's over there working $100 million deal, but he know how important it was to give us a minute or two because that's who he's doing it for.
That's
right.
And we appreciate y'all taking the time out of y'all's schedules and the energy to get on these airways and keep it going because you really, really don't know how many people you touch. And I have brothers call me when we hang up from California, from all over, saying, brother, I heard the show, so don't think ain't nobody listening.
Love it. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir. keep it going.
All right.
Hey, brother National Chief of Staff, we love you, Black man.
All right, Black Power.
Yes,
I'm going to go back to work and see if I keep building. Y'all be good.
Black Power. Black
All
Power.
Right. Black Power.
Hey, y'all heard it. Y'all heard it first. That's the National Chief of Staff, our big brother, Brother Minister Hashim Nzinga. Any closing comments on that for Sami? What you think, sister?
Black Power, brother. We at the end of the show.
We all way at the end. We appreciate y'all for listening and hanging with us, and we promise y'all we're gonna bring the national chairman on the show. The man is busy. His schedule got caught up with him. He's on an airplane. It had no phone battery, but we'll get him on the show. We thank y'all. Tune in this Wednesday at 8 p.m. for our Comrade for Simon show. What's the topic, Queen? You know the topic yet?
No. What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's what are you doing?
What are you doing, buddy? Yeah.
This Wednesday, 8 p.m., y'all tune in and support your comrade. Y'all know the sister's strong and she don't take no mess. This is Fasami's show. This Wednesday, 8 p.m., what are you doing to create revolution? We love y'all. We close out with Black Power.
Black Power.